Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to this online service from Olney Baptist Church. My name is Sid Bond, and I am one of the elders at the church. In this service of praise and worship, we are continuing in the Old Testament, and this morning our readings from Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15. And our verse for the week, our scripture for the week, in fact there's three of them, read like this. It's Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can come to you this morning. And we thank you for all that you mean to us. Almighty God, you are. You are ruler of heaven and earth. You are the great creator. You are the one who holds all things in your hands. And Father, we do thank you for your salvation and for your blessings. And for your peace, and for the joy that you give us. And we do thank you that we are able to come and praise and worship you this morning. Help us, we pray, Father, for we do need your help. We ask that the Holy Spirit would draw us closer to you, would help us to understand your word, and we pray that we will be influenced by your word and taught by the Holy Spirit. Help us to praise you in truth and in spirit. And Father, we do bless your name for all that you are. So help us, we pray, as we bring these prayers to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we come to our first hymn this morning, and that is hymn number 530, The God of Abraham Praise. And the reason we're singing this is we are thinking of Abraham this morning, or Abram, as it's referred to in the scripture. And the God that Abram worshipped all those years ago is the same God that we praise and worship today. He is our God, and we praise him for all that he is. So the first hymn, The God of Abraham Praise.
Angel.
Well, now we come to the reading for this morning, and Lizzie is going to read to us. And the readings are taken from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, and Genesis chapter 15, 1 to 6.
Good morning. The reading today is taken from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, then Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. So starting at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. And then continuing in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. God's covenant with Abram. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness.
Let's pray together as we bring our prayers of intercession to God. Father, our loving Heavenly Father, our gracious Heavenly Father, our great Heavenly Father, our unchanging Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that you know our hearts and our minds, and Father, you do not judge us for what we are. You do not judge us that we fall short so often. You love us through and through. You know us by name, by personality, and by character. And Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your grace, and that we can come with confidence before you because we belong to you, we are your people, because we have trusted Jesus as our Saviour. And we do thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for us on the cross, that you were our sacrifice for our sins, because we needed to be forgiven, because we are all sinners. And yet, Jesus, you died for us. You gave your life for us. And of course, you rose again on that third day for us as well. And we thank you, Father, that one day we will be resurrected as Jesus was. Father, we thank you for all that you have blessed us with, for our homes, for clean water, for food that we have, for the freedom that we have, for your word which we have to read, for your blessings, many of them, for your hand upon our lives, for your guidance, and also for the fact that you are the same every day to us, and we can always come to you, Father, with our prayers, and we can come in confidence because we belong to you. How do we know that, Father? We know that because we read about it in your word, and we have confidence in your word. For we know that if we put Jesus in the center of our lives, if we trust him for salvation, then we belong to you, and therefore we are part of your kingdom. We do thank you and praise you for these things. We thank you for spring and for all that we see around us of the new growth. We thank you for the emergency services which we depend upon, for the peace that we have in this country, and also, Father, that we are still free to worship you and to go back to church after this pandemic has been brought under control. So we do thank you for all of these things. And Father, we pray for our government, that you would help them as they have their responsibilities and make their decisions daily. We do ask that you would guide them and you would give them wisdom, that they would make the right decisions, particularly in these pandemic times. We pray for the government advisors, that you would give them understanding and the right decisions will be made there as well. We thank you for the rollout of the vaccine, and so many people have not just had one jab but have had two. We thank you, Father, that it all helps to bring this pandemic under control. We thank you for our health services and for the vaccine itself. And Father, we pray for those countries in other parts of the world who are still getting these waves of COVID-19. We pray for them, Father, that you would be their help, and that government would make the right decisions there, and that the health services there would make the right decisions, that lives will be saved. Father, we pray for Northern Ireland, and again we are seeing trouble there, and we pray for peacemakers on both sides, that they will be effective, that they will be able to persuade people to be peaceful and to live peacefully. We pray for the government in Northern Ireland, and we pray for our own government here on the mainland, Father, that they will work together to make the right decisions. We do ask that you would bring peace to Northern Ireland. We pray, Father, for Myanmar, and we've seen on the television how government troops have fired live ammunition at their own citizens. We know that some have been killed, and Father, we know that many have been wounded. We pray for the wounded, Father, that they will get treatment. We pray for those who have been put in prison, that you would keep them safe. Father, we pray and ask that you would bring peace to Myanmar, and that the free countries of the world will work together to try and persuade them or to help them in some way. Only you know what is best, Father. And so we do pray for that government in Myanmar, that you would soften their hearts, and Father, that they would find the new way forward, a better way forward. And Father, we pray for those parts of the world where those of your own flock, those who belong to Jesus, those who are part of your kingdom, they are in prison, or they have been told to leave their country or their village or their home or their family because they belong to you. We pray for them, Father, that you would meet their needs, that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, and even in their difficult situations, Father, that they will hold on to you and trust you and trust you, and that you would meet their needs. Father, bless them, we pray, and encourage them. And Father, we pray for those in our own country who are looking for justice of some kind and are not getting it at the moment. Father, you are a God of justice, and therefore we look to you and we pray to you that those in this country who are waiting for justice, Father, that they will get it. We pray for that. And we pray for those who are responsible for justice, that they will be wise and guided by your hand. And lastly, Father, we do pray for the Queen and for her family, as it is a time of grieving for them. We do ask that you would comfort them and that you would give them peace. And Father, at this time, that they would be drawn closer to you. We pray for those of the royal family who don't know you as Lord and Saviour. We pray for their souls, that they would know you. And Father, for our own congregation, we pray. For those who this week is going to be a difficult week in different ways, we pray for them, that they would trust you. Father, that you would meet their needs. Father, that you would give them guidance and understanding. And in all of these things, Father, that you would be glorified. Help us in our lives to trust you, to follow you, to be your servants and your disciples. We do ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We come to our second song. It's number 302, and it's Jesus Shall Take the Highest Honour. Why should Jesus take the highest honour? Because he is God's Son. And one day the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow before him. And we praise God for that. Here's the song, Jesus Shall Take the Highest Honour.
Jesus shall take
And so we come to the message this morning. And thank you, Lizzie, for reading to us this morning. I hope you've got your Bibles handy. If you would turn to chapter 12 of Genesis, please, and we're reading verses 1 to 9. We all have experienced those times in our lives when a new chapter began. It may have been the first day you started at school. Many of us are too old to remember our first day at school. Or maybe the first day at college or university. Or your first full-time job. The first time you met your future husband or future wife. The first time you left your family home and the area that you knew so well, and all that was familiar about your family home and the area which you grew up in. And you move to another part of the UK, or as some of you have done, I know, moved to another country. These were all significant events. And whatever the new chapter was, it meant that you were stepping forward in your lives. It may have been a time of apprehension. There may have been times of concern until things settled down. And this morning we're thinking about Abram, who lived in Haran. Haran is modern-day Turkey today. And he lived there with his wife and family, and his father and his family. And Abram was to enter into a new chapter in his life. For God spoke to him and said, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father, and go to the land I will show you. But God also gave promises to Abraham, or Abram. And we read those in verses 2 and 3 of this chapter 12. Verse 2 and 3, I will make you into a great nation, God says to Abram, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Amazing stuff. Not only was God calling Abram to leave father, family, and country, but Abram was to become a great nation. His name would be great. God was going to bless him, and he would be a blessing to all people. You and I may have said to God, if we were in Abram's place, please give me some time to think about this, Lord, because it is fairly mind-blowing, and I need a day or two to think about it. Also bear in mind, Abram did not come from a family that worshipped God. In the city of Haran, where he lived, the main form of worship was moon worship. Yes, moon worship. So when we read in verse 4 that Abram left as the Lord had told him, his obedience is pretty impressive, because he didn't know where the Lord was taking him. And as he leaves with his wife and his nephew Lot and with his possessions, the familiar things and the security that he had in Haran and in its round his father's house, the security is all left behind. And his future security is going to be in God. That raises an important question. Where does your security lie? Where does my security lie? Is it in the God who rules heaven and earth? Or is your trust in your own abilities, your possessions, your earnings, your status, your business? Is your trust in your family or your education? Or in other things? It's important that we ensure that our security is in God alone. So Abram has entered into this new chapter, and God calls him to depart from his old life. We can certainly relate to that, because when we became a disciple of Jesus, we leave behind our old sinful life and enter into a new life. We are a new creation, the Bible tells us. God called Abram to discovery, for God was leading him to a new land. We can also relate to that, for as followers of Jesus, our spiritual lives are lives of discovery. We enter a new spiritual world. We learn much more about God and ourselves. We discover the truth of the scriptures. We learn about prayer and experience God's guidance and answers to prayer. And of course, we never know, as we trust God, where he will lead us. The hymn writer puts it so well. This is a Sankey hymn. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am his and he is mine. God also called Abram to purpose. According to verse 2, for Abram was to be head of a great nation. His name was to be great, and he was to be a blessing to others. And for us who are part of God's kingdom, we are also called to purpose, to be active as servants of God, that God would be glorified, that Jesus Christ would be made known, that our lives reflect what we believe, and that we defend the truth of God's word. You might respond with, hang on, Sid, I can't live with those responsibilities. It all seems too hard. Let me share something with you. When I was in my late teens and early 20s, very often on a Saturday night, I would go to an evangelistic meeting in Liverpool city centre. There were hymns and prayers and songs from the regular large choir, and a special speaker would be brought in to deliver the sermon. But there were times when I came away from that meeting feeling discouraged, certainly not encouraged. The sermon content would usually include, be a better disciple of Jesus, love God more, serve God better, say and do less sinful things. The standard just seemed far too high. It discouraged me. But what I didn't understand then, but what I do understand now, is that no improvement can be achieved in our walk with Jesus or our service for Him without the help of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do things in our own strength. And I'm pleased to say that God knows that. Therefore, do not be discouraged. Ask God for the Holy Spirit's help in all that you do, and you will receive help. I have found that in my own life. I'm sure you will find that and have found it in yours. So in verse 4, Abram leaves Haran and the Lord leads him to Canaan. And the Bible says, and they arrive there. The Lord appeared to Abram, and he receives another promise from God who says, to your offspring I will give this land. Abram builds an altar to the Lord in worship and honor. He continues to travel through Canaan towards Bethel and Ai and pitches his tent. Again he builds an altar to the Lord and calls on the name of the Lord. But there are greater things for Abram to learn, which we read about in chapter 15. So please, if you would turn to chapter 15 of Genesis with me. The first verse commences with after this. After what, you may ask? In chapter 14, Abram goes into battle to rescue his nephew Lot, who has been taken captive. That is what the after this refers to. There would be a possibility of a revenge attack by the kings who Abram defeated. And so the Lord assures Abram, I am your shield. That is a comfort for Abram, and also an encouragement for us, as David writes in the Psalms, and we quote this from Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusts in him, and I am helped. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. But it is obvious from verse 2 of chapter 15 that Abram is concerned with his childless state, and he will have to rely on a servant for an heir. But God is not one to fail on his promises, and reassures Abram in verse 4 that a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Then the Lord takes Abram outside and says, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. So shall your offspring be. Then we come to this significant and important verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Why is this an important verse for Abram and us? Because for Abram, he believed God and trusted him and was made righteous, and therefore was made right with God. For us, this verse points us to Jesus and reminds us we can be made righteous if we trust him. Why is this verse significant? Because it reminds us we are not righteous. We are unrighteous, or sinners, is how the Bible puts it. And as sinners, we need God's help. As God made Abram righteous, so God sent Jesus to die on the cross to make us righteous. You may say, Abram is an Old Testament character. How does that in any way connect to Jesus and faith? In the New Testament, Abram is referred to 74 times. That might surprise you. He is used as an example of one trusting God or putting their faith in God. The Apostle Paul writes this in Romans chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. And he is referring to Abram here in these verses. If you want to find it, I'll just give you a little time. Romans chapter 4, verses 23, 24 and 25. Paul referring to Abram. It was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. I'll read that again. The words "it was credited to him," that was to Abram, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That last verse uses the word justification. Why do you need to be justified? And what does it mean? We need to be justified because we are all sinners and we need God's help. And justified means being forgiven by God, being made righteous by God, and in being made righteous, we are made right with God. And also God's wrath is turned away from you. And another Bible verse from Romans chapter 3. And that's verses 22 to 24. And it's our text for the week. And it reads like this. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. What great verses they are. So let us be clear about this important subject. You can only be right with God by trusting in Jesus. Some will say, and some will believe, going to church makes them righteous, or being baptized as a baby makes them righteous, or being christened makes them righteous, or being confirmed makes them righteous, or believing in God makes them righteous. Or some might even say, or being born in the UK will make them righteous or right with God. The Apostle Paul writes that many Jews thought they were justified because they kept the Jewish law to the best of their ability, or that they were circumcised, or that they were just born a Jew. But the Bible is emphatic in this, that only faith in Jesus Christ can make men and women righteous. Let me end with three questions. Are you righteous? Are you right with God? Have you been justified? For Jesus died on the cross for your sin and my sin, that you could be righteous, that you could be right with God, and that you could be justified. Why not trust him today for salvation and be a follower of Jesus Christ and enter in to God's kingdom? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. We thank you that it's life-giving. We thank you for salvation, Father. We thank you for your rescue plan when you sent Jesus. We thank you that you can make sinful men and women right with you. And Father, I do pray for those who would listen to this recording and don't know you as Lord and Saviour. They haven't trusted Jesus for salvation. We pray for them that your Holy Spirit would cause them to turn to you and ask for salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we come to our last hymn. It's hymn number 1187, Before the Throne of God. And this is a hymn which reminds us that if we belong to Jesus, we can stand before God at that last day. And we can stand before God with confidence because we belong to Jesus. Because Jesus is our perfect, spotless righteousness and our Saviour. So here is the hymn, Before the Throne of God.
throne of God above. I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love. Whoever lives and pleads for me, my name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness. The great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. Christ my Savior and my God.
So just before our closing prayer, I'd like to thank Jonathan and Catherine for the music this morning. And if you're listening out there and you've got any questions for anything that you've heard this morning, why not get in touch with us? Let's close in prayer, shall we? So, Father, we thank you for your goodness, your graciousness, your greatness. We thank you that you are supreme in all of your ways. The undefeated God you are. The one who rules heaven and earth. Father, we thank you that we can know you and call you Father. Help us to follow you. Help us to serve you. Help us to love you. We do ask it in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.